If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month, with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.
Welcome to this episode of the Superyacht Laundry podcast. Today, I have decided to kind of reach out to get some information about what is going on when we are looking for jobs ashore. So you're on board right now. What is really out there? What are the options? And to help me answer these questions, I have got my guest, Maria Pari. How are you today? Thank you for coming on my podcast.
No, thank you for asking me, Charisse. Yeah, I'm really good today. Really enjoying this weather for a change. So, how are you doing?
I'm all right. We were just laughing because we were just talking about how easy is it to do a podcast and everything else. And as me and Maria were talking about that, the red arrows flew over the top of my house. So you can get interrupted by all sorts of things just trying to record a podcast. Honest to God, literally anything could happen. You know, I don't know what could happen next. Maybe I need to keep an eye on Trump just in case he decides to do something crazy while we're trying to record. Anyway, Maria, you work for Wilson Halligan, obviously one of the largest and most reputable recruitment companies in the yachting industry. Like I alluded to just before we came on, I've known of Wilson Halligan for a very long time. Obviously know the founders as well. So, you know, a pedigree, I would say, of doing things professionally for a very long time. But let's start with your story before we get into work. How on earth have you ended up working in the yachting industry? How did it all come about?
Oh, God, Jesus, this is a story. Well, actually, I didn't come from the yachting industry per se. Like, I don't have a yachting background. My background is in marketing and in well-being. So I am also a yoga teacher and I still try to do this on the side, you know, even though it's really busy just because it grounds me. But yeah, so I met Liam about almost four years ago now. And I actually joined Wilson Halligan as a maternity cover, which is, you know, very different from what I'm doing now. But then I think for me, it's because I have lived, well, you know, I've moved around the world and I have this passion for, you know, traveling and meeting people and just connecting with, you know, new people. And I think for me, it stems from that I've really kind of, I guess, you know, grown into this role. So yeah, I joined them initially as a cover and now obviously looking after the shoreside department. So yeah, I mean, background in terms of career, it's always been marketing and, you know, as I said, well-being. But I think it's very important in what I do, you know, helping with ex-yachties coming ashore, because for me, listening is a very important part of the job where you need to listen to what the candidates are looking for after their yachting career. And as you know, Charisse, it's not easy coming ashore, right?
Yeah. No, it's not. So with obviously, you know, travel, like when, you know, obviously you're doing mat cover and everything else, but when they said, oh, do you want to, what was your impression of the yachting industry when someone's like, oh, you want to come work for us? We place people all over the world. Like, what was your, what was your first impression?
I have to say, I've never heard of the industry before I joined Wilson Halligan, which is weird because when I spoke to them, I'm like, what? This industry actually exists? And I found it really interesting. I love it. I was saying to Liam, if I was younger and I knew about this industry, I would have definitely, you know, tried into it for a few years. But it's a totally different world. It really fascinates me. I don't know why, but you know, it's just an exciting opportunity to be able to travel and, you know, explore the world and, you know, connect with so many people and get paid for it. It is a good opportunity, I think. And Yeah, I love it. I loved hearing about it. I was looking at all the boats, trying to learn all the boats' names and, you know, everything, the different sizes, the charter, the private, very new to the yachting industry. So yeah, it came very kind of, well, it was all new to me. So it was a very kind of exciting time.
Almost like you knew before, obviously, because you're not originally from the UK.
No, I'm not from the UK originally. I came from Japan.
You were an adventurer back before, because obviously your first adventure, you know, happened quite early on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, I've always seen yachts, vessels docked somewhere, you know, anchored somewhere, but I never thought that people were actually working on them.
You see, they were there for show.
Yeah, you know, I just see them and I thought, oh, someone owned it, but I never thought that, you know, that could be a career out of it. It's just weird. So,
yeah. Is it weird? Yeah, I suppose it is.
I found it weird that how come I didn't think that people actually worked on it, you know, and I just thought, yeah, someone owned it. And yeah.
It's quite funny until you're like, it's on your doorstep, like whether you actually pay attention to it, if you know what I mean. Like, you would have seen it passing, but, you know, if you've not like wondered or even had the time or the interest into. I mean, I would be the same, you know, if I haven't got enough money to be a guest on board, I probably would have just ignored them. It's not going to be my next holiday, so I've got no interest in it at all.
Not going to be able to afford one anyway.
No.
But yeah.
Obviously, because Wilson Halligan, you know, traditional recruitment and everything else, why did you end up in the shore side department, do you think?
I think it was just all coincidental. The person that we had before was leaving and, you know, Liam asked me to step up. And in all honesty, I think shoreside is, the desk is quite a challenging desk, I would say, you know, just because it is a very broad one. And he spoke to me and he asked me, okay, are you happy to step up? And I thought, Liam, I don't know. I wasn't sure. And, you know, just being transparent here, but it ended up really well. Like, I really, you know, ended up enjoying it. Absolutely love speaking to candidates wanting to come ashore. I do feel for candidates who speak to me and say, I don't know what I'm doing after yachting. Like, I've done this all my life and I don't know what career is waiting for me on land. And, you know, I guess I kind of resonate with that as well, because at some point we didn't know what's ahead. And well, we don't know what's ahead, but what we're doing after, you know, a specific career that we're doing. So I like helping people and I kind of like listening to people's aches and pains and just trying to find the right fit. So yeah, that's it.
So obviously, just before we talk about what, you know, what you've developed, why did Wilson Halligan want to look at placing crew shoreside, or were they being asked?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think as the business obviously grew and our network kind of expanded, we just began noticing a growing demand for it. Like, existing candidates, clients were already asking us, like, do you deal with this? And then you see that there's a gap there. You know, there's definitely a gap where, as I said, ex-yachties coming ashore not knowing what they can do even after yachting. So yeah, I think it's just, there's just a demand and there's just a gap and, you know, we filled it in, I guess.
The reputation of the company is probably, you know, do you think, because obviously Wilson Halligan have got such a good reputation in the industry, do you think that's kind of propelled them into the sphere, you know, and gave them the opportunity?
So. Yeah, no, absolutely, Trish. I think you're right. You know, Wilson Halligan is established in terms of seagoing recruitment. You know, we've got really good relationship with boats. And yeah, I think we are in that position to, you know, to get people coming to us asking for advice as well, you know. So yeah, I think that definitely contributed to that.
Okay, so, you know, they've decided, right, we're going to help try and place people inland. In the beginning, what roles were they getting to try, you know, try and
fill? Yeah, no, of course, at the beginning, I would say it would be, you know, yacht management. That's always a big one. Yeah, like yacht managers, ideally, obviously, with this background. And of course, with our database of yachties, we've got that already. So it will be within management companies for sure. There were little ones where, oh, actually, you know, I chartered a yacht and we are looking for housekeepers with a yachting background just because we've seen that, you know, the standards that they have on board. So then again, so you see, oh, private household, that's an option there. So yeah, so those little things really that contributed to, you know, this being an idea of why don't we just have a desk for this, you know, for this and be able to support the clients, candidates that we already have.
What percentage were, like, what's your ratio male to female? Like in the beginning, was it all female or all male or a bit of a mix?
In terms of candidates?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely a mix. For more corporate, like yacht management, technical, I'd say the ratio would be about 70% male. Whereas with a private household, really varies. If it's, you know, house manager, estate manager, that would be more female kind of dominated, I'd say.
Okay. So what, obviously, you're, you know, what kind of candidates, like how frequently are people coming? When a candidate comes to you, are they just looking for ideas or are they desperate? They've left. They don't want to keep doing the yo-yo thing. What stage is most common for them to kind of get in contact with you?
Okay. So for me, I love this question because I've seen a change recently where candidates are starting to pipeline. You know, they come to me a year or a year and a half before they leave yachting. And they want to see, they're putting the feelers out. They want to see, Maria, this is the experience that I have on board. What can I do when I come ashore? So from, you know, having people who's, I wouldn't say desperate, but, you know, something perhaps, you know, they were made redundant or the boat sold and all of a sudden, you know, they don't have a job. And then they think, oh, maybe I'll just come ashore. There's been a big change there where now candidates are actually planning, which is, you know, which is really good. So yeah, I would say before, like I would say 2 years ago, they would come to us thinking, oh no, you know, I've just been let go, you know, I've lost my job. So I think I'm just going to come ashore now. I feel like I need a break. But then now they come to us and think, look, I've got a year left in me in yachting, but I want to start pipelining. What jobs can I do? And then they start preparing for it, which is really good.
Yeah, it's one of those things, obviously, we, you know, I think, like, obviously, since I've been talking about the transition ashore and how hard it is, and a lot of the problems is they just don't know what they're capable of or who's even going to recognise their qualifications or even if they've, you know, let's be honest, some really incredible female crew members, very insanely capable women will have no qualifications of what they've been doing. There is no way to kind of record their level of attainment at all, let alone trying to translate that into something a land-based company can understand. How do you work around that? How do you kind of, I suppose, get companies, or even when it comes down to a basic form of CV, how do you get them to it to reflect them as their true self and what they're capable of?
I love this question again. So it's not easy, especially say, for example, if I'm looking for a house manager, speaking to clients, you know, they're looking for specific background or experience, and then they see a yachting background, they're like, what's this? Then you kind of have to do and emphasize all the transferable skills, right? Like sometimes it's more about educating the client because they can be very rigid on what they want and you need to tick boxes and things like that. But some of them don't see the transferable skills that an ex-yachtie have. And like what you say, you know, you get candidates who's not sure as well what they can do, what they're capable of doing. It's all about, you know, I guess letting them know that, look, you've done this. Say you've dealt with ultra high net worth clients, and this is something that you can do on land as well. You know, I get candidates come to me as a housekeeper saying, I'd love to find a housekeeping job on land. I always try to get them to not put themselves in a box. You know, there's a lot of transferable skills that you have. This is the opportunities that we can look into. So yeah, it's not easy. It really depends on the client, what they're looking for, and how rigid they are with what they're looking for. But I always make sure that they see the transferable skills.
It's quite like, you know, in my head, you know, thinking about doing housekeeping on land, it wouldn't be anything like doing housekeeping on board. You know, it's not, you know, I imagine you probably might get a budget, but then that depends on the house. You know what I mean? I don't feel like it would necessarily be on a professional par with what you've just been doing with housekeeping, if you know what I mean. It
yeah.
might, you know, it's because on land, like my first experience when I, you know, like when I'd left, housekeeping and like service for engines, starkly different on land. You know, and, you know, I worked in an environment where the service staff talked really horribly to the housekeeping staff. It's also paid really badly. Do you know what I mean? Like, there is that snobbery on land, whereas on board, we all chip in. We all do the same stuff. Mm-hmm. There isn't, you know, it's not seen as a, I suppose I want to say like a
hierarchy.
Bit of a class divide, you know?
Yeah. No, I get what you mean. But I think it really varies. If the program is really big, sometimes that can happen. But I think because on board, of course, you know, it is a close, you literally feel like you're part of a team. Whereas sometimes in a household, it can be very different. So yeah, I do agree with you. But also, I think I'm seeing a shift now where they actually appreciate, especially if you get a house manager who used to be a chief shoe, you know, they know how it is that everyone is chipping in, everyone's got their role to play. So yeah, slowly, hopefully that can change. But yeah, I get where you're coming from.
I would, if I was loaded, I would hire a chief shoe to run my house.
Yes.
You know, if I had got to a point where I bought myself a very nice house, there's not a hope in hell I'm going to clean it. I would definitely, you know, I'd have, you know, a little yeah. house on the estate. You can have the house, just run my house. I just, you know, like a yacht.
That's what the rich are doing now. They're even doing rotation now, like how it is on yachts.
No way.
Yes, in their household.
That's amazing. Oh, my God, I might go back to work.
Sign me up.
They're running a house so obviously yeah. they're so happy with what they experience. Why should you only experience that on holiday, I suppose?
Yeah.
So they can bring it into their normal house.
100%. And I'm getting more and more clients wanting yachties because they know the standard, right? Which I love, because before it's so hard to explain the experience from, you know, from a yacht, but now they understand it and they're looking for it. So amazing. There's definitely been a shift.
That is quite so. It's not just Below Deck that's done that though, is it?
No, well, I don't think so. Well, to be fair, it has its good and bad, right? I guess. Exposure's
well,
there.
No offense to the people on Below Deck, but you know, sometimes the cleaning on there is not to the average standard of a TV yacht.
You
know,
it's quite
traumatic watching. It's quite traumatic watching episodes. When I've spoken to crew members that have watched it, they're just like, oh, God. It's nothing worse, especially if you've been chief stew, just watching them badly clean everything. You're just like, oh.
It's painful.
I would fire you. I would fire you for sure. You would have not got on my boat.
Not my boat.
Not my boat. You know, it's, yeah, well, I suppose the world is opening up to it. You know, if you have got proper money, you are holidaying on yachts. You know, if you've got real wealth, that's where they're at now. For the female perspective, and I have to say, we're still being pigeonholed into that area. Do you know what I mean? Like you said, 70% of the technical jobs, management, new builds, all of that kind of stuff is all going to the guys. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, that's great. But when it comes, like, you know, I've got a couple of really good friends of mine, you know, creating an interior for a super yacht should always be done by somebody who, you know, design and concept is great, but input from somebody who's actually worked on the interior in a super yacht, you know, is vastly valuable and will save you millions if you mm-hmm. actually spoke to somebody who's going to try or understands how you elevate service to the highest level, because you make it really easy for the crew to elevate the experience because everything is in the right place. You know, yeah. It still baffles me that there are yachts out there that don't talk to individuals that have tried to provide this, you know, 6-star service when they're creating interiors. Now, I've worked on interior brand spanking new, temp job, help us make this look pretty so we can sell it. And I get in there and it's an absolute nightmare. I'm like, it looks like somebody who's never worked on interior has done it, because you put stuff next to stuff that just won't work. And, you know, ice machines that you have to manually fill. Like, what is that about?
Doesn't make sense.
So it's a bit of a shame. But from your perspective, is that starting to change a little bit more? Is there a little bit more, you know, are there more openings for females within the technical side of things opening up?
I think with these type of roles, it really varies, because it really depends on the ticket and the experience that they're looking for. Like, I have seen a shift when it comes to yacht management, where they would, you know, consider purses, and they would be, but then this being said, they would be looking after, I guess, more of the admin heavy side of things within the yacht management team. But when it comes to obviously compliance, ISM, things like that, it is more of someone who has a captain ticket, you know, or chief officer ticket. So it really varies. I've recently just placed a new build support, and she was absolutely buzzing. And I'm hoping that there's a chance for her to get into the yacht management side of things, because obviously she will be supporting them. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think clients are being more open to it now. I was speaking to one of my clients the other day, and, you know, he mentioned that, yeah, you know, we're happy to kind of look into someone with a purser background. So that's very refreshing to hear, because usually it will be a chief officer or captain ticket, you know, for yacht management, which I understand and respect that they need a certain, you know, experience and qualifications for the role. But it's, yeah, slowly getting there, slowly but surely.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. Obviously, we get pigeonholed into the, like, kind of the hospitality, but, you know, translating that into corporate, that's customer service. That's like account management, you know, that's liaising with family offices and all of that kind of stuff, which, you know, you could be really good technically, but you can have the social skills of a, if you know what I mean, you know, there's a reason why, you know, the interior team are all females, you know, most of the time, because we're really good at reading people and getting either the information that we need or getting them what they need. So I have heard that there has been more of an expansion when it comes to companies looking at, you know, like you said, kind of, I suppose, admin, but more customer service facing, that kind of stuff. Technical is great when you need it, but there's a lot of stuff in between where, you know, women could be really well placed.
100%. It's, you know, it's a whole shebang is what they say, right? Like, it's not just the technical side of things. There's a lot of things going on in between. And I think, as you said, I think with people skills as well, that's not something you learn from a course, you know, either you have it or you don't. And most of the women, I mean, let's face it, are more, you know, client facing than some. So yeah, I guess that really helps as well. So
especially with the new generation, you know, obviously everybody talks about the new generation of kids and obviously, you know, not, you know, being on their phones too much and everything else. You know, the yachting industry, you've got to talk to people. You know, there is no escaping it. You're in a team, close quarters, there's no avoiding it. But like you said, the underestimation, or, you know, you shouldn't underestimate the value of having a bunch of people that can talk to anybody. Do you know what I mean? Like, women, you know, yachties in general can talk to anybody. You could stick us in a room with absolutely anybody and we'd be perfectly comfortable to kind of start that rapport and everything else. In a world like today, you know, for instance, I've been helping my husband trying to deal with finance people. Wow. Just Can we just pick up the phone? Like, a bit like, pick up the phone. Just pick up the phone. I've sent you 20 emails. 20 emails.
Oh, my God. And you don't hear back.
No, it's not that I don't hear back. It's like this to-ing and fro-ing, like literally in a five-minute call.
Just on a call.
All of that and got it done and it's done. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, it's the whole keyboard warrior type thing. But, I mean, I suppose I'm old-fashioned. I do like to pick up the phone. I just call.
Yeah.
Like, it's not scary. I watched there was a video on Instagram about a dad trying to talk to his children about how you went to knock for your friends when you were old, younger. So, like, when you used to go around to see if somebody went to play, would come out to play. Because obviously we didn't. You could call their house, but, you know, you just went around to see if they were there.
Yeah.
And his dad was like, they were like, but how do you do it? I'm like, he literally, you know, had to go through this role play of knocking on the door. And then if the mom came, he said, hi, how are you? It's such as, like, literally teaching them. It's like, my mom never taught me. You just did it.
Yeah.
It's a crazy world, but yacht crew, you know, even if you are brand new on there and in your 20s, because of the nature of the job, you will have that skill. And I think in this day and age, it's going to be so valuable.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's one of the skills as well that yachties have, you know. Again, there's so many transferable skills that you can use in a corporate, you know, set up. And yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think you can see the difference as well with the generations nowadays, because as you said, they're always on their phone. There's no interaction, right? And it's just not healthy, but I guess it's, well, different times, I guess.
Yeah, it is different times. It is different times. But, you know, it's not nothing scary. The worst they can do is say, you know, they're not here. They can't come out to play. I don't know. It's just mad. It's one of those things like, you know, if kids today are having problems with stuff like that and they're not working on board, send them to a call center. That is another, you know, cold calling people. You know, back when I was traveling, I ended up working in New Zealand at a call center. We had to ring houses in Australia about have they got funeral insurance to pay for their funeral.
Wow.
You know, if you want to get abused down the phone,
yeah, you know what I mean?
But you just become immune to it. So, like, yeah. You know, when someone says, you know, just ring so and so, you just ring them. I don't think about it anymore. But
no.
It's, you know, it's those exposure to different things. I just find it really interesting. I would like to know if it's really hard to place engineers, because obviously they're the least talkative out of the crew members generally. You know, when you're trying to place them in a big corporate world,
Therese, I love your questions. No filter. Well, engineers, let's go to that. It really varies. You know what, when I speak to an engineer and they're really good on the phone and really, you know, they're people person, I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. I get excited. Like, I'm not even going to lie. And then they know it themselves.
Yeah. No, I love engineers. Like, they were my favorite people.
Love
quite
them.
Intense mm-hmm. most of the time, you know. They perhaps need to get out a little bit more, you know, because being in a room with no windows can be very intense.
I know.
I would love to be, you know, it's one of those fly on the wall things, you know, interviewing an engineer and stuff like that.
But it's funny because I think, of course, when I'm working with management companies and they're looking for, say, technical manager, technical superintendent, they would give me a brief of, Maria, this is client facing. So they need
they know.
Yeah, it has to be, you know, someone who's really good with people. So I know that, you know, okay, fine. Yeah, I'll find you a unicorn then. But yeah, no. Yeah, it's quite tricky. I think with engineers, you know, you gotta love them. It's black and white, you know, most of them.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know, but yeah, as I said, when I find an engineer and they're just really good. They have the people skills.
They're just really good.
Really good.
They can actually communicate like a normal human being.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. But yeah. But hey, you know, I mean, end of the day, it's all about the technical side, right?
Yeah, it is all about the technical side. I know I joke about these things, but like if you, we're talking about customer service. Unfortunately, the engineers are probably the lower end of the spectrum, you know. But I always used to, it's one of those things who you like working with. And I always liked working with engineers because they're really direct. They only talk about what they need to talk about. And that's why I used to find that they used to get frustrated with other crew members because, like, especially junior, like, female crew, they give a story. Engineers not interested in a story. They don't care how it's broken, but what is broken and can I fix it? You know what I mean? But
it's very black and white.
And the amount of times I've stood there and then took this poor girl's telling the story and the engineer's, like, losing his mind. Really. You know, it's like,
We get that here as well. It's funny because obviously we look at different desks and then, you know, we got Robbie who looks after the interior and, you know, it's all about emojis with a stewardess and stuff. And then Kelly who looks after our engineer is just, do you want the job or no? Yes, no. And that's it.
Thumbs up. Although apparently thumbs up is offensive now. I'm not going to, how is that offensive?
No, don't get me started.
I don't know how a thumbs up could be offensive, to be honest. There's other hand gestures that are way more offensive, but we won't go into that. So let's bring us right up to date. You know, has your team expanded? What are the new industries outside the yachting world that are kind of looking for ex-crew members or, you know, you're looking to expand into? Where are you at right now?
At the moment, as mentioned, the shoreside desk is very broad. You know, one minute I could be working with a client looking for a super yacht director. And then, you know, the next I'll be looking for a nanny or, you know, a butler. So, you know, there's those kind of two big, I would say, departments within shoreside. So we are focusing on this at the moment. Expansion, of course, we're, you know, always looking for great people. So yeah, it's definitely in the cards. So we've got a plan for the shoreside as well, which, you know, again, you know, ideally, you know, reaching a certain number of kind of people within the team. So we're working towards that. In terms of other industry that's looking for yachting background, yes, I would say, you know, loads. I've got a few clients abroad looking for yachting background, and it's totally non-related to maritime, which, you know, I love, but all ultra high net worth related. So yeah, I think there's definitely been a shift in terms of exposure, whether, as we said, below deck had something to do with that or not. You know, there's definitely more and more opportunities that are opening up for yachties, so, which is always a good thing.
Well, you guys are the pioneers, you know, you're the ones out there pimping us out, you know, I suppose. But you are at the forefront because, you know, it is that the magic formula is translating, if possible, what we're capable of and what an asset would be to any company, you know. And, you know, the secret is out for definitely some companies, and we've had that even on the show. You know, it's, you know, once they tune into, like, oh, these hyper-focused, very people-pleasing people are free, get them in, because we do have a work ethic that's probably not as common as it maybe was, you know, years ago.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, the amount, I mean, the standard on board, you know, the pace on board, you know, like, I have had clients saying, no one else would understand this apart from someone who's worked on board, like how fast-paced it is, how, you know, how stressing it could be, like the amount of stress that, you know, yachties take, I guess, on board. It's not a good thing. Hopefully there's something that can be done with that as well. But it's known now to clients on land. And, you know, they want ex-yachties not because they know they can take the stress, but because they know that they're resilient. You know, and they power through.
We tough it out. You know, it's one of those things. We make our own bed, really, because we are, you know, I've said before, we're people pleasers. So we'll say yes before we say no. Mm. Whereas on land, a lot of the times people go, ooh, don't know whether that's possible. you know, but Yossies are all like, yeah.
We can do it.
You know, give me the credit card and I can make all sorts happen. And I also think that's quite unique as well. Like, we'll give it a try. We'll look into it. We'll see if we can make it happen. So the first reaction is always a positive, you know, in general, or hopeful, which again is not, you know, not sometimes a reality on land, I would say.
Yeah.
But we make a rod for our own back. That is the correct term. The more you pull rabbits out of hats when the hat didn't even exist before, the worse it gets, because you just end up doing it more and more.
Yeah.
And more.
You just make things happen, you know. I mean, I think at some point it can be a bit detrimental to some. I've had, I don't know if I posted about this on LinkedIn, but I've had a chief of staff, and it's because she takes sakes and she, you know, she gets things done. I guess working within private households as well, this is one of the things that if they can see that you can get it done, you get more responsibilities. Yeah. And in some ways it's good because that's how you climb up the ranks, right? One minute you're looking after one property for the principal and the next you're looking after 10 worldwide. It's good, but also I would always say know your limit and have that boundary. Working within private household anyway is tough because it becomes your life. But yeah, and I guess it's the same on board, you know, like especially living in such close, yeah, space.
I mean, worse because you're flipping it on its head. So obviously on board, you get them while they're on holiday. If you're in their private house, you see them more. Like, in some respects, that would literally be my idea of hell because you're kind of, do you know what I mean? They come on for a trip, they go off, they go home.
They're there all the time. Yes.
They're there all the time. Mm. They're there more than they're not.
It is hard.
So, you know, I suppose in a sense, when a client's on board a boat, we say yes, you know, we make that dream happen, that glorious vacation holiday, which, you know, that's what we're there to do. But I imagine when you step into a private house, you've got to really think about boundaries because you can't work at a pace that you do on yachts on land.
No,
you can't. It's not possible because it's obviously longer, extended periods of time. Nobody needs to be getting text messages at like midnight. Can you make something happen?
Yeah, 100%.
Hours of rest and all that jazz.
So much respect for people, well, yachties and obviously people working within a private sector and generally within the ultra high north.
it's a demanding environment.
It is indeed.
Okay, so just to kind of summarize and stuff, what would your three bits of advice be to a lady that's working on board at the moment and she's, you know, wants to look at her options? What would you advise her to?
You know, it's all about pipeline. Don't leave it too late. I would say, you know, sit down with yourself and just think, look, what part of yachting did I really like the most or do I really like the most? Because if you're a housekeeper, you don't need to be within a private sector and doing housekeeping for their estate. You can, all those transferable skills can be, you know, utilized in other industry, you know? So start just thinking, what would I like to do? Just sit down. What would I like to do after yachting? What are the skills that I have that I want to, you know, bring ashore? So that's number one. Number two would be keep your contacts, you know, put yourself out there. Obviously, if you are looking confidentially, I always say this to candidates, find two, you know, recruitment agencies that you connect with, that you feel would represent you the best and build that relationship with them and, you know, really get to know them, really let them get to know you so that they know what are the acceptable for you, you know, coming ashore and what's non-negotiable, what's, you know, yeah, what your preferences are in general. And then I'd say lastly, think of, you know, the salary. It's not going to be the same, honey. I'm sorry.
Prepared to be disappointed.
Well, I say this though, Charisse, I do get clients who pay really well. They compensate really well. It's the tax that gets you, you know, so that's it. Yeah. I mean, just be prepared. Reality will hit end of the day that, oh my God, I need to. Yeah.
It's unavoidable, unfortunately, in certain countries. You could go and work somewhere in Dubai, I guess, because they don't have any tax. But, if it's, everywhere else, unfortunately, it's a reality. So it takes your really decent wage back down. But, tax.
We don't like the tax, man.
Especially in this country, when apparently he's going to raise his ugly head in October. That's lovely.
Something to look forward to.
Isn't there just? There's loads of stuff to look forward to. So if there's ladies listening and they're like, I'm not sure what I want to do, I don't know, but I don't want to leave, you're happy for them to reach out, contact you, have a chat. I also think it's a confidence thing as well. You know, when you're overwhelmed with the thought of leaving, don't know what to do, that's when you might be super confident on board, but that's when the lack of confidence starts to creep in, you know?
I like that you touched up on that as well, Sheree. Sorry to interrupt, but it's happened before where I have candidates who really good, background in yachting, but they're just lost about what they want to do after yachting. And I think that's it. It comes down to, I don't know what I can do, to be honest. This is all I know, which I always say, you've got a lot, you've got a lot under your belt, under your experience. So use that, utilize that. And then I do help them kind of see what avenues can we explore. So yes, being confused, being overwhelmed, coming ashore, it's normal. I think it's just voice it out, voice the concerns, see where you want to be. That's it. Like, as I said, sitting down with yourself and just thinking, what do I want to do? What do I really want to do after this? Would be really helpful. Because if you come ashore thinking, I'm not sure really, I don't know what to do, at least have three. Maybe, I really want to get into management. I'm happy to be open, within opportunities within a private sector. And I'm not taking any roles in sales because I'm not a salesperson. Just know those things and it will help kind of narrow it down for you.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for spending some time talking about what's going on out there. I have to say it's really encouraging, to have companies now, like I said, pimping us out. because we are incredible individuals after, our experiences on board, and there's a lot of value because it does change us for the better in lots of ways. So it's really nice to know that there's companies that, are really trying to push our profile out there as incredible employees. So thank you very much for this insight.
No, you're very welcome. Very welcome. I'm very happy to be able to contribute to that, really. So,
nice. So basically, ladies, if you are listening, back yourself. We're pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie. Like, we are super capable of all sorts of things. The main problem is working out what you want to do and the confidence thing, managing the confidence and also, coping with the tax man, because it's hard, but unfortunately, as long as you know it's coming, you'll be fine. If you need any other more information, obviously all the details will be in the links below. But Maria, thank you very much for having the time for us today. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me, Sheree. And as I said, I'm always happy to help. So, if you guys are looking for a new role or looking to move ashore, I'm always happy to help. Feel free to reach out.
Fabulous. She's lovely as well. Like, honestly, she's just a lovely lady. She should have actually, I think in a past life, you were a yachty. She's not been on board, but she's got yachty vibes. So, I would highly recommend you contact him, Maria, and all the details, as we said, will be provided. If you've enjoyed this episode, we have many more, and we've got some absolute, groundbreaking episodes on the horizon as well. But until the next time, stay safe on board, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.